Today on Real Radio.
One of the greatest hindrances that you and I have today to getting to heaven, if we're not a believer, it's a big distraction even if we are a believer. But one of the greatest hindrances, according to Jesus, of a man getting to heaven is the love of money and what money can promise.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days are freely. Praise, my heart is in your hands. Let me feel your touch, Lord. I live for your love.
Hello, and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament narrative written by Luke. We're in chapter 16 and looking at the first 14 verses, which contains the explanation by Messiah himself that man cannot serve money and God at the same time. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a mini-series called What's in Your Wallet?
Luke chapter 16, verses 1 to 14. And if anyone's visiting for the first time, let me quick say this. This portion of Scripture, as we go through the Bible, we come to a portion of Scripture that Jesus is talking about the priority of money in our lives. This is a church that does not ask for money. We've never had a thermometer. We've never said, pass the plate again. We don't do that. If this is your home church, we give you opportunity to worship through giving, and it's biblical. Now, look, if you're visiting or if you're not sure this is your home church, you are not to give. Don't do that. You just hang on. So I had to say that as a disclaimer, as it were, because of the teaching that we're hearing from Jesus this morning. We are in part two of a message that started last week, Luke 16. Hold your finger there and get your pen ready to mark down some notes. It's absolutely important. Number one, as you know, the title of the message is What's in Your Wallet? And I said last week I stole that from a bank that I don't know if is even in business this week. But what's in your wallet? Jesus is asking. The year was about 600 BC and the mighty Babylonian despot, Nebuchadnezzar, ruled the known world at that time. And the great Nebuchadnezzar, found in your Bible, found throughout the writings of antiquity. When I use the term despot, by the way, I mean that in its truest sense of the word. There has never been a ruler with the magnitude of power like Nebuchadnezzar had. A despot is someone who has absolute power. He answers to nobody. Nebuchadnezzar got out onto his patio and looked out over the empire that he had created. And in fact, Daniel 4, verse 29 says that at the end of 12 months, as he walked about his royal palace in Babylon, Shushan, Iraq, the king spoke and said thus to himself, is not this great Babylon that I have built for a royal dwelling by my mighty power and for the glory of my majesty? And while the words were still in the king's mouth, a voice fell from heaven saying, King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken. The kingdom has departed from you. Could you imagine hearing that? Daniel chapter 4, verse 17 says, and this is kind of eerie, mark it down. Daniel 4, 17 says, this decision is by the decree of the watchers. The Bible refers to angelic servants often as the watchers. Isn't that kind of eerie? This decree, this decision was by the watchers and the sentence by the holy ones in order that the living may know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men. Is that not awesome? Nebuchadnezzar walks out there and says, is this not the great kingdom that I have built? And the angels were watching and they were listening. You ever have that moment where you step out there. You know, it's like a perfect morning. Maybe it's a Saturday morning. You got your cup of coffee. The kids are still sleeping. Wife's in bed. The day is quiet. The temperature's just right. There's a beam of light hitting you, and you're standing there, and you look out over to, you know, the 200 square feet of your backyard and say, is this not the kingdom I have built? Look at this landscaping. Or my, as I get older, my rocking chair here. And God reminds you, wait a minute, I'm watching, I'm listening. And the Bible tells us that God taught Nebuchadnezzar a great lesson. By the way, read the book of Daniel. You will find out that one of the people you'll meet in heaven will be Nebuchadnezzar, the great king of Babylon. I wish this morning's message could be light and funny, but it can't be, just by nature of what Jesus is speaking to us about. I don't think it's a coincidence that our schools have mocked God right out of our campuses. I don't think it's a coincidence that our judges have defied his laws, or that doctors are killing babies, or that America is in its worst financial crisis than it's seen in 70 years. How many banks are on the chopping block again? What in the world is going on? We do all these things against God. And we sing the songs, America, America, God shed his grace on thee. And I ask the question, why? Why should he? What does he owe us? We ask God for his blessings, and America turns around and has clearly divorced herself from the rule of God and his love. And we expect him to bless. He will not bless. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 7, 1 Timothy 6, 7, the Bible says, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we will carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, I add, Christian, with these things we should be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But you, O man of God, flee these things, pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and gentleness. Paul was never shy about preaching what was to be the value of the life of the Christian. Jesus was not, shall never be, a crowd pleaser when it comes to this issue. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 13, Jesus said, enter in by the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who are going in on that path. But narrow is the gate and difficult is the way that leads to eternal life. And few people find it, Jesus said. One of the greatest hindrances that you and I have today to getting to heaven, if we're not a believer, it's a big distraction even if we are a believer. But one of the greatest hindrances, according to Jesus, of a man getting to heaven is the love of money and what money can promise. And it's amazing to me. You guys all know the news in this church right now, this morning, on a Sunday morning. Our nation's leaders are in Washington, D.C., working right now. And did you know this? Did you hear it? That they're working hard to find a solution to our financial crisis before the European, before the Asian markets open up, which is Sunday evening our time. Did you know that? Do you want to know why? Go find out why. See, why is that important? Why do they need to find an answer to our financial woes before the Asian markets open up? Don't listen to me on this issue. Go to your financial sources. The United States leadership and financial powers that be, from Washington to Manhattan, are terrified that international investors will begin to pull their money out of the U.S. market. Ladies and gentlemen, if the international investor decides to pull their money out of the American market, you will see a collapse worse than the Great Depression. And those are not my words. This is a very serious time. You say, Jack, give me some hope. I'm getting there. I just got to get you first. But our nation's leaders are scrambling to cover their bases. Corporate leaders in New York are grabbing onto their wallets. This is a very, very critical time. And so Jesus here, amazing timing of God. Jesus, as we come to our study in the Gospel of Luke, we've been in it, I think, for over a year, to say the least. by the hand of God, we come to this. And as we jump into this, part two of this message, church, will you all mark this verse down? It's the closing portion of the study. It's the point that Jesus was heading for. I give it to you up front because I want you to have it ringing in your ears all the way through this morning. The point that Jesus was trying to drive through regarding this chapter 16 teaching is found in verses 13 and 14. No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You can't serve the God of mammon. Verse 14, now the Pharisees, who were lovers of money, mammonos, the God of money, also heard these things and derided him. The issue that Jesus is speaking about has to deal with this one thing. What is in your heart? And is what is in your heart govern how you conduct over all of the resources of your life that you have and what you and I have in this life? So we pick it up. Verse 1. There, Jesus said to his disciples, there was a certain rich man who had a steward. And an accusation was brought up to him that his steward was wasting his goods. So he called him and said to him, what is this that I hear about you? Give an account of your stewardship, for you can no longer be my steward. Verse 3, then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my master is taking the stewardship away from me. I cannot dig. The word implies, remember, he was too soft. He had tender hands. I can't dig. I don't even know what end of the shovel to hold. I'm ashamed to beg, translation, too proud. I have resolved what to do, that when I'm put out of my stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. So listen who they are. He called every one of his master's debtors to him and said to the first one, how much do you owe my master? And he said, 100 measures of oil. And so he said to him, take your bill quickly, sit down, write 50. And then he said to the other one, how much do you owe? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And so he said to him, take your bill and write 80. So the master, listen carefully, church, verse 8. The master, who's a picture of Christ, the master commended the unjust steward, not because he was a dishonest man, no, but because he had dealt shrewdly. He was really thinking. For the sons of this world, Jesus said, are more shrewd in their generation than the sons of light. Translation, people who don't know God when it comes to management of things are smarter than God's people most often. Shouldn't be that way. And I say to you, make friends for yourselves of unrighteous mammon, that when you fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much, and he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Therefore, if you have been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, that's stuff of this world, who will commit to your trust true riches? And if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is his own or your own? No servant can serve two masters, for he will either hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Verse 14 ends, now the Pharisees, who were lovers of money, heard these things and they derided him. Very quickly, last week we saw this. Point number one was found in verses 1 and 2 about the challenge of what's in your wallet. Number one was this, it will someday be something that you and I give an account for. That is true for every believer. And by the way, non-believer alike, God gives the resources. That we will someday give an account for what we have in three ways. Because we've all been given a purpose for life as a believer. Every one of us have been given a purpose. We saw that in verses 1 and 2. Also, because we've all been given a trust. God has given us something. And even if we have $1 or $100 million, doesn't matter. What is the level of faithfulness that you operate that resource unto God? And then look at the third thing that we looked at under that point. We will someday give an account because we've all been given a talent. Not that we can play the trumpet or walk and chew gum at the same time. A talent in that God has given us a realm of influence that we are to use it to the glory of God. And the first talent that God has given us, my friends, is our very life in existence. Are we using our life to the glory of God? Now, our second point in our study begins at verse 3. Jot it down, follow along. What's in your wallet is the question. Why? Because someday it will repay you. You and I will experience dividends by how we invest in the kingdom of God, in prayer, in loving one another, and in the resources God has given us. We view it this way. We see it this way. Found in verse 3. As we studied this last time, it's because he requires us to be current. We are to be current about what we're doing, asking ourselves, how does and how can what I have glorify God? This should be the theme of the Christian life, and we looked at that. And then we looked also at the fact that it should be prophetic, that you and I, as Christians, what you and I have should be something that God requires out of our lives in a prophetic sense. When that man said, I know what I'll do about this, Jesus is commending this man's conduct because he was looking ahead to the future. Prophetic. Lives lived to the glory of God. Mark this down, if you would. And I know we're still reviewing this because this is part two, but we'll come screeching across the finish line, trust me. Abraham. When you read the Old Testament, the Bible says there, Abraham arrived in this place, God spoke to him, and what did Abraham often do? He did either one of two things, sometimes both. Number one, he would build an altar, made usually of stones, and he would dig a well. Jacob, when he would show up, he would often build an altar made of stones and often would dig a well of water. Isaac, Genesis 26, 24, and the Lord appeared to Isaac that same night and said, I am the God of your father Abraham, do not fear, for I am with you. I will bless you and multiply your descendants for my servant Abraham's sake. And what do you do with that kind of information when God appears to you and speaks like that? I'm going to bless you for Abraham's sake. Next verse. So Isaac built an altar there and called upon the name of the Lord. He pitched his tent there, and there Isaac and his servants did what? Dug a well. Why is that important to our teaching? Because when you follow God, God will supply. See, the problem with the Pharisees, the problem with us today in our life, we live in such an opulent culture. We would never say it, but we sometimes think God's not providing the way that we think he ought to provide. And we've become, can I say it, spiritually fat. We are so blessed as a nation that if our temperature's not set at 73.5 degrees, we get uncomfortable. God has been so good to us. Will you agree with me on that? He's been so good, but Jack, all these things are shaking in our nation. I understand that, but doesn't it cause you to say, wow, God, you have been good to me, and you have been good to us, and I know this. Naked I came, naked I go. Job said, blessed be the name of the Lord. What has God promised us but heaven? He owes us nothing else. He's been so good to us. And because of that, we looked last time that we will someday be repaid by how we invest in the kingdom of God, that we were required to be creative. God expects us to be creative. And so when that master, verses 5-7, or I should say the servant, the steward over the master's goods, got the master's debtors together. He wasn't stealing, you guys. I made mention of this. Some of you didn't grasp this last week. You guys, remember when it says, how much do you owe my master? And the one guy says, 100. And he said, write 50? He said, the steward is not robbing anybody. I told you before, the culture was, the steward was to ask the master, how much do you want from this wheat field that this guy's sowing and plowing? I want 50. I want 50 bucks. It was up to the steward's jurisdiction. The steward had the right to go to that farmer and say, you're going to pay my master 100 bucks. I said, Jack, wait a minute. There's something wrong here. No, we call it commission today, literally. The steward would take the money, take an amount from that, and give it to his master, that which his master asked for, and what he had was his. That's how he was paid. So what he did was, knowing that he was running out of time, that the end was near, that things were coming and becoming urgent, he set himself up for the days that he would have nothing or no longer have opportunity. Christian, think, the day is coming when you and I will either see the Lord face to face, may it be today, amen, or we will no longer have opportunity. that the well will dry up. There'll be no more income, or there'll be no more opportunity. There'll be no more water flowing from the tap, so to speak, or literally. We are to have our treasures laid up in heaven. And that's what the Lord is teaching us in this example that He's giving us. We are to be creative about investing in the future. And so we look ahead. We plan ahead like this man did. Jesus is saying, listen, whatever you do, Christian, always have eternity in your sights. How does this bless the kingdom? How will this expand the kingdom? And in the end, I will stand before God in the kingdom and give an answer for my life. It's very powerful, the sense of urgency. Okay, now we jump in, which is now verses 8 to 14. It's the last point of the message, but it's going to take us the rest of the day. Look at verse 8. It says here, what we learn from this, when the question is asked, what's in your wallet? It will someday reveal who your God really is. What's in your wallet? This way, are you looking ahead as you follow your God? You see, Jack, why do you phrase it that way? Am I looking ahead as I follow my God? Isn't the God that we worship all the same God? In a collective sense, yes. But in my own life, I'm sure in your life, sometimes there's a challenge to that. Verse 8 says, so the master commended. The word in Greek means he understood his plan. The master said, wow, what a smart dude I'm firing. What a smart guy I'm letting go. He's doing really a smart thing for himself. That unjust servant, because he had dealt shrewdly. For the sons of this world are more shrewd in their generation than the sons of light. The word shrewd here means to be, and you've heard this word, astute at business, cunning. We get the word ingenious from this. It means to go about, here in the Greek language, to go about with a keen eye. A friend of mine, Gary Simon, in Arlington, Texas, true story, just got an email from him Friday night. They built their church. They were digging. They were stopped by the government. And they said, our satellites are picking up things that we need to do some ground research regarding the property that you bought. Now listen to this. Brilliant. They bought it from the land, from the U.S. government. In the transaction, the government was a little slack, a little lazy in Texas. It's in Texas. And Gary had better attorneys. You don't buy nothing in this world without attorneys. And they wound up, the government wound up inadvertently signing over the mineral rights of the property.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio in a presentation called What's in Your Wallet? It's a look at the first 14 verses of Luke chapter 16 that deals with the issue of money and how believers need to view it as well as handle it. We'll continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. In the meantime, we'd like to remind you that, speaking of which, Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is supported by its listeners. All donations are tax deductible, as we are a nonprofit. We simply want to get the word out. To get in touch with us here at Real Radio, there's more than one way to do so. You can pay us a visit at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO. It's also easy to remember, 877-RR-RADIO. Our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And of course, all of our contact information can be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ. and in His Word.
Inside, You shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.